right. We've officially been joined by our race winner, Ross Chastain. Ross, congratulations. Watermelon and all.
That's right.
Obviously, a little bit of a unique race with the weather and everything that we were kind of battling, but take us a little bit through your vantage point there and obviously the opportunity to take home a victory tonight.
Yeah. 2 days at the track, unlike anything I've ever experienced. I don't know how to describe what I felt. And all the delays don't help. Getting on the track felt so good to go fast, to just drive and slide the car. Starting 14th, we drove forward and put ourselves in position in those top couple rows for the restarts and were able to execute, get the lead, and be in the lead whenever it mattered tonight. So, racing felt good. It was. I feel like I read this quote a long time ago after a different tragedy, and the quote was, "Our country can't heal until sports get going again," and maybe some version of that. And that was ringing in my head walking into the track yesterday. Getting in the truck last night, getting in and not getting going made it even tougher. And then getting going in the car tonight, like the first lap we came around, I'm like in the middle of the pack racing just around cars. And I was like, this is the start of feeling a little bit of healing through this. So, it felt good to go fast tonight.
All right. We'll go ahead and open for questions. If you have one, raise your hand. I'll work to get a microphone to you. I'm going to start here in the middle with Steven.
Stephen Toronto, NASCAR pole position. Ross, I was at the end of pit road when the race was declared official, and initially it fell just between everything that everyone is experiencing and just the gloom of the atmosphere, like the celebration was very muted. And then when you got back in your car, you were talking to your crew guys when you said this, but you said, "Hey, boys, how about that? Let's go to victory lane," and then proceeded to put a show on the front stretch and do a burnout like you did. Was that a active decision to lighten the mood? Do you feel like anyone needed that? Was that just a part and parcel of celebrating a race win?
Well, when they first, like another crew guy told me it was official first from somebody behind us, maybe the 21, and I didn't know if I should believe them. I thought they might be messing with me. So I just turned around and I didn't have a radio on, so I didn't know. And looked at an official and he was looking at me and looked at Philip Bell, my crew chief, and he's looking at me and I'm like, am I going to say anything? And then they were telling me that it was. So, I think in the moment I've never won one like that, so I didn't know how to act. I mean, I'm already out of the car. I've got my hat on. Like, we're just sitting here. It was silent. The fans were running from the rain that was happening. And it took a minute to sink in and look, losing Kyle was on my mind through all of this. Once I was racing, sliding the car, driving in the wall in turn one, I'm not thinking about anybody else, but my race car and my team. But as soon as I was getting out, it's like, what next? Like, what do I do now? So it was very, just confusing, because we were right by the big logo, the big number 8, and down there at the end of pit road. So, it took me a minute, but the excitement just, you saw it, I guess. It, like, bubbled out of me, and I'm like, this has been a long time. A lot of work went into us winning this, so I'm not going to take it lightly. Winning these O'Reilly races, it might look easy by some of these guys, and my teammates make it look really easy, but it's not, and I had to work a long time, more than a decade, to get in this car, and then several races for the team before we were able to win. So the burnout, totally spur of the moment. I'm driving to victory lane. I'm like, I'm doing a burnout. I won the race. And I've never done a burnout in NASCAR without earplugs in. That was a mistake. My ears are still ringing. And then look, victory lane, I didn't know what as I was driving there, I didn't know what I was going to do. And we had conversations about, do we smash the watermelon or not? We're very aware and mourning with everybody. The bow I did was in the most respectful way of showmanship to the one of the greatest drivers I've ever raced against, and to do it as a nod to him. I didn't know if I was going to do it, and I was all of a sudden bowing, and then I don't know how he came up with it. I'd love to, you know, someone that knows that story, I'd love to hear that story. I never thought I would bow. I'm not a bow guy. And then smashing the watermelon from the top of the car in victory lane. Look, it's fresh from Florida watermelon season. I'm a watermelon farmer. I'm a watermelon shipper and salesman. Like, we're selling watermelons, and winning is good for business. So that wasn't going to be left out either.
Thank you, Ross.
Yep.
All right, we'll come up front to Lee Spencer, please, right here. Go ahead.
Ross, when I got to Victory Lane, you were talking to Dale Jr. What was that conversation like? Because it seemed pretty pensive.
I told him, thanks for going to bed. I guess we couldn't win till he wasn't here, but he said he was studying for tomorrow, and he had a lot of work to do. So he, like I, didn't think we would get racing again tonight. I went over to the one hauler, and I've the last time I went to the one hauler during a rain delay for a truck race at Darlington a couple years ago, I fell asleep on the floor again tonight. Got here a little after 7 this morning to get ready for the truck race, knowing it was misting rain, but still drove down, was ready, and so was tired and had a long day of hurry up, wait, and so Dale took off and went home, and I would have too if I wasn't driving the vehicle, and so we were just talking. He knows that I've worked a long time to get here. We've known each other a whole lot longer than I've ever driven for him, and he knew a decade ago that I wanted to drive his cars, but I had to make the business side work, and nobody just made that easy for me. Trackhouse has been a big part of that. Trackhouse puts us drivers with Connor and Shane in the JRM cars because they want us to go fast on the all weekend, and that's why you see us in other, and they're in the Spire trucks, I'm in the Nice trucks, and we're competing for wins all weekend. So this is big. Dale knew how long I had worked for this, and I'll say it again, a lot of drivers go to JRM and instantly win, instantly are fast. We've been fast, but I have not won. Y'all, you can look at it. Over, 2 years now of trying. This was the 8th race, I guess. So, it's been very humbling to go 0-5 last year. And just having that moment to talk to Dale was important. And, of course, the call dropped partway through the call, so we had to call each other back.
All right, Jordan, can I get a microphone to Jordan, please?
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. On the Cup side of things, this year is not gone maybe how you wanted it to right now, right? You guys are kind of working through things. Does this win help the confidence and just kind of reaffirm any maybe self-doubt that you have?
I am a human being, and I will react to this. I would react if I crashed. I would have reacted if I hit the wall and couldn't leave turn one after driving through whatever that was and hitting the fence. I will walk in here more confident tomorrow. I will walk in here with a bigger smile because this is why I do this. There's been times in my career where, like, 10th place was great, where just having all the tires, like all the sticker tires was great, or having the lease engine was great, but now winning is great, and that's what we want to do. So I felt confident in the car today in Cup practice, and we'll walk in here tomorrow. With a clean slate, I don't expect anything more than what I can do with the car and then the Nice truck as well whenever we get that race in.
You kind of answered my question. I was going to say maybe tomorrow the truck race is going to happen.
Yep.
And then obviously the 600. Are you okay running both back-to-back?
Yeah, we were prepared to run all three. I think it was 11:01. And I had a lot of conversations with my group, with Trackhouse, with JRM, with Nice, that I feel prepared to do this. And I've worked a long time to get into this position. And if I didn't think I could do it, I wouldn't sign up for all three on the weekend. So running all three in one day, I'm ready for the challenge. I've trained for this and feel healthy. If any variable was different, I would bow out. But physically and mentally, I know that I can do it and was ready for the challenge. And it was going to be a challenge. But if we run back-to-back tomorrow, we'll be ready.
All right, a microphone to Chris in the back.
Hey, Ross. I'm Chris Gallen with Above the Yellow Line Media. I just wanted to take a second. You were asking about the origin of the Kyle Busch bow. As it so happens, according to Holly Kane in 2023, she was speaking to him, and he was saying how winning an O'Reilly, of course, Busch at the time, Busch Series, an O'Reilly race right here at Charlotte, which I believe was 2004, from how he was saying, he did the burnout with so much smoke that he thought back to the magicians in Las Vegas, where he was from, and they took a bow when the smoke cleared. And so from the way that sounds, that the bow was actually born right here.
Wow.
Where that happened. And that kind of plays into my question, which is I think a lot of people expected the first person who won after what happened this week would break out the bow, whether it's tonight or in the cup race or wherever. So what does it mean to you personally to get to be the guy to, you know, kind of have that moment and, like you said, kind of take that first step toward healing with that tribute?
Yeah, well, like I said earlier, I think racing is the best thing we can do. And I didn't know I was going to do the bow. I was up on top of the car, and all of a sudden I was keeled over looking at my knees. So I don't know if I did it right. I felt like my feet were all crooked. My knees were buckled. I was just trying not to lose my balance up there. And so, yeah, it, yeah, I had no plans to do it. I heard Brad talk at this exact seat today. I watched the video, and he talked about that he expected the driver, and I actually thought, I didn't expect that. And then I never thought about it again the rest of the day. And I crawled on top of the car and did it. So, you know, I clearly Brad's words stuck with me and his opinion. Look up to guys like that, you know, guys like him and Kyle and like the elder statesmen of our driver group currently. You know, when they talk, I listen. And, yeah, I guess it stuck with me. I don't know. I just, like, believe me when I say it, I was not planning to do it. So it feels better that it wasn't planned. Same thing, like the watermelon smash the first time was also not planned. Some of y'all probably remember that. It sat on a very similar table, and it was bending it, and then we smashed it open.
Thanks, Ross.
All right. Right here.
Daniel McCoy, UNC Charlotte 900 times. The previous question kind of set up mine perfectly about the bow. Do you think you performing the bow persuaded other drivers who were kind of on the edge of doing it or not?
I hope nobody else gets the chance and we just win all the races.
True.
I can't speak for anybody else, man, so I don't know. I barely know what's going on inside of this brain.
All right, I'm going to go Jacob and then wrap with Dustin. Go ahead, Jacob.
Jacob Seelman, Steering Wheel Nation. Ross, you alluded to it a little bit on the CW broadcast, but would you mind going just a little bit into the timeline of just finally getting to the point of being able to drive with JRM? Because I know you mentioned it was a fight to get this opportunity.
Yeah. I first watched a JRM car drive by me on the track in practice in 2014, and the rules were different then, but the way the car went through the corner, I said, I want that. I wanted to drive it. And that was 2014 Memorial Day, Saturday, Friday practice probably. And it took till 2025 to sit in one. I think my first race was COTA last year, if I remember right. And it went 0-5. I thought when I get in one, I'm going to win right away. And I mean, this sport has a way of humbling me and reinforcing that I have to work for these things and continue to show up. If I went 0-5, a lot of people walk away. And sometimes they only get 5 chances. They only get 1 year's worth of funding. And JRM, Joe Mattis, David Erickson, they kept going to work with Trackhouse and JRM to make it all work. And I give Justin Marks a lot of credit. Like, he wants our cup cars to go fast, but he wants us to go fast across the entire weekend. He knows we're NASCAR drivers, being a racer himself. So, Carolina Carport's allowing me to drive and represent their brand. I'm representing several of the JRM brands this year as, you know, the powers that be decide what brands are on what driver. I'm a Carport guy. I can't wait to get one at the house.
And you obviously won the 600 last year. It's been a bit And it's funny that it comes all the way back around to here again. I know you're hoping that this can be a spark across all three series, but is it making this place more and more and more special when you can at least snap the droughts here and have the celebrations that you've had?
That's a win in all three series here for me. Holy cow. Well, that's impact. That's powerful right there. Yes, I hope this is the match that hits. Okay, growing up in Florida, when we would have bonfires, I'm going to tell my parents here, there would be a big pile of brush, big pile of limbs. Then there was a can of something that got dumped on the whole pile in a trail, and we would get to the kid, like me or Chad, would get to go and throw the match. And I don't endorse playing with fire. We weren't playing. We were very supervised, but you would throw the match down, and it would run up the tail and go boom. And so, man, I hope it does that. I hope it's, yeah, I want to win. I want to go fast, and I want more opportunities.
All right, Dustin.
Just let me know, J-Ski. Ross, how tough was the visibility with all the fog?
It was so bad. But it was bad earlier on those laps we ran, like with the mist, a little more like bigger droplet size earlier, and then it went to a true like mist here. Luckily, my tear-off, they pulled one. If they wouldn't have pulled a tear-off on the first stop, that second run would have been brutal when we went back racing here the second time. But, yeah, there at the end, we lost the track quickly. And, yeah, visibility was tough. I think that played – I mean, McReynolds couldn't see some safety trucks. He said, I know they went in over there to turn two. I don't – just watch out. I don't know where they're at. And then, there was – liquid down that got put down in turn one. Speedy dry then gets blown up into the air and it's hung in the fog, it looked like. So, glad, obviously, all the decisions were made how they were, but visibility was bad. Low ceiling, as my brother would put it in the, aviation industry.
All right, Ross, congratulations again, and thank you for spending some time with us. Best of luck tomorrow, too.
Thank you. Let's all go home and get some sleep.